And we're on. This is the Jew Function. Here we are, closer than ever. I'm sitting here with Seth. He actually flew all the way for this special podcast, and it's going to be a special podcast. You feel it?
I feel it.
Yes. We're very excited to have this particular podcast because up till now, we typically met people who were sort of in the same stream as us, or so we thought. But today we're bringing someone who's completely different, someone who maybe some of you know him, maybe some of you don't. He's an author, he's a philosopher. In a past life, he was considered an anti-Semite, anti-Zionist, whatever, all the antis. But he's here actually with a different mission and a whole different attitude. And I think that's very exciting because we love to talk to people. We said many times that we want to talk to anyone because talking about it is the first step to changing anything.
We can't speak for every Jew.
So Hitler was, I think, the first one with the racial. Oh, they're a race.
We think that Jews are judged collectively.
So if you guys are supposed to unite each other, but you're not even united.
That's what Judaism is really about. Unity above argument.
And your history shows you kill each other nonstop.
I already feel that our audience is cringing.
So you couldn't justify the Holocaust if you wanted to.
We don't have to wait until there's a war.
But you're right when you say the Jews have to unite. Now you have to convince them.
I'm very happy to welcome Lucas Gage to the Jew Function. Lucas.
The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?
It's a serious topic. It really is, because we're going to prevent people from getting hurt. This is important. I want to help people change the minds of both sides as well, because the most important, I think that will help solve anti-Semitism are conversations like this. I think a lot of people, they might have concerns or something, and then all of a sudden, this organization comes out, labels them anti-Semitic, their whole life is destroyed, and they become anti-Semitic. Like, oh my God. So we got to be careful with the word anti-Semitic. We should reserve it for people who literally hate Jewish people, period. I think that's my opinion on that.
Okay,
And we have these conversations are very, that's why I'm actually very happy to be here with you guys.
so I'm curious. Obviously, I think it's clear by the name, but in general, we met you. You're not born Jewish, not as far as you know, right? At least.
No. Not enough. My soul's mother's soul is in Mount Sinai.
We'll get to your soul later. Let's start with the ID, the
Sure.
birth certificate. So you're not born Jewish. And where did you grow up?
So I was born in Italy. Okay,
Oh,
so
you
my birth name is different from Lucas. So those of you who may recognize my face from, stopantisemitism.org or something, my birth name was Angelo John Gage. So as you can
Okay.
see back here, I was a former Marine, but I was born in Italy. Came here when I was two, and I lived my life in New Jersey. Well, instead, and right now I still live in, I live in Brick, and Lakewood is right down there. So, I'm
Oh,
very
you got a
close to
plenty
many
of
Jews,
Jewish
plenty of
neighbors.
Jewish, a lot of Orthodox Jewish neighbors. Exactly. So,
So,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm curious. So, here you are living your life.
Yeah.
When did you start feeling anything towards this group called Jews? Did you have any relationship with
I
them?
didn't even
Did
know what a
something
Jew
trigger
was.
any change of attitude?
So I never knew what a Jewish person even was. I just knew as a, I was raised Catholic, so I'm no longer anything. I'm not really, I'm a big fan of Alan Watts. So I'm probably a Zen Buddhist kind of guy, Taoist. Marcus Aurelius is another, so I'm Stoic. I got a blend of all philosophies, which is all unity, by the way, interestingly enough. Anyway, so I was Catholic, so I knew of the Jews through my religion, the chosen people from God, the covenant, and then whatever, they have to repent, Jesus killed them, or whatever, they killed Jesus, blah, the whole story. So I didn't care for them, like I didn't even know what it was, So most people who go on a journey, they learn about the Jewish question later in life politically, whether they run into something Israeli or something. So I didn't know what a Jew was at all. And most anti-Semitic people don't know what they are until they run into their power, which apparently doesn't exist, but it does. And so I never had an issue with, like, even today in my life, even when I was an anti-Semite, I never had an issue personally with a Jew. Never did I walk into a Jew and have a problem. My friends to this day, I have Jewish friends, which is cliche. Oh, you have Jewish friends? Or just say, no, I really do. They did integrate. They're not, Orthodox or anything like that. But personally, in my life, never had a problem with a Jewish person. A lot of my doctors have been Jewish. Dentists, Cohen.
Surprised to hear
Yeah,
that.
it's surprising. Lawyers. So I've always had, you know, people in my life who are Jewish, never had a problem whatsoever. It's the ones on the internet. But
something, though,
the internet, it caused, yes. So once I ran into this identity, whether it be Zionist or anti-Zionist or anything like that, the political Jew, as Gilad Atzmon would call. So he would say there's three types of Jews. Ethnic Jew, you're born a Jew. Okay, whatever. Then he would say the religious Jew, okay, he's a Jew. But the political Jews, like I'm a Jew, therefore I must do this, civil rights, not civil rights. When you run into these kinds of Jews, now you have this issue that their identity is being used to push an agenda, which may conflict with your people's nations or politics.
Even if it's a communist agenda or
it doesn't matter, agenda, whatever one. Exactly. Matter. Pick an agenda. They're on all sides. You see that today. Okay.
But yeah. when did it actually affect you? I mean, some people live their lives.
Yeah. So totally when I got into this, like I said, I didn't know off camera. I said, you know, I didn't know what a race was. Like I'm Caucasian. I'm white. What I learned about this whole like anti-white stuff. So it started with anti-white stuff. You know, white people are going extinct. George Soros is pushing immigration, genocide. You know this whole theory. And you look into it, and you start seeing Jewish name. So I read Mein Kampf, for example. I ran into Mein Kampf. I read Dr. What's his name? Kevin McDonald's book on the Jews. So I started learning about
that's
these.
After you got out of the army.
After the Marine, yeah. After, way after.
Okay, so you're not like a clueless kid in high school.
No. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I started. The first thing that changed my life was 9/11. So once I learned about 9/11, some questions about that.
A lot of questions.
But we know for a fact the war in Iraq was based on lies. So forget about your other conspiracy. So the lies in Iraq. Look into who pushed Iraq. Neocons. Who are neocons? Okay, so that's one thing. So I started going through these conspiracy rabbit hole, everything. I'm saying aliens. I'm talking about like reptile, every stupid thing you imagine. I went through all of it. Eventually, I come across Rothschild Zionism, this banker guy. Like, well, he's a banker. And I go, who hates the Jews the most? Hitler. Why did Hitler hate the Jews? And I run into Mein Kampf. I read Mein Kampf. I started crying. I'm like, this guy is evil. According to everyone, he's the most evil man in the world. But he's saying they run the banks, they run the media, they run a theater. And then I start Googling banks, theater. I go, oh my God, how is he right? How is this man who I am supposed to hate for, you know, all these evil things is correct? So I look into it and I go,
well, no, just God. Because I already feel that our audience is cringing and they're slow down a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, and this is a problem we have, because then people say we're Jew hate, you know, we hate.
Right. You're a self-hating Jew.
We want to solve thousands of years problems. So let's just slow down for a minute. So what did you read that you said, oh, what is that? Just in a
I read Mein Kampf. I read.
But what did you say, read in there that you were like, oh, that's peculiar. That seems.
When he said it, the media then was controlled by Jews, left wing, specifically these communist Jews, not the religious Orthodox with the tefillin and the hat. It was these Jews that integrated into Germany. So you couldn't tell if you read Mein Kampf, he didn't know what a Jew was. He heard about them as well. He was a Catholic, I believe. He didn't know what a Jew was. Then he's like, wait a minute. These people are not even German. There's something about, they're not even us. And they run this, and this. And they're pushing social democracy and communism. And every time I talk to one, they're pretending they don't know what they're talking about. And then, you know, he struggled with his own. So people think Hitler was born anti-Semitic. He wasn't. He became one, and he explains in Mein Kampf why he became one. He struggled with it.
I'll just add, because you know we have. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we'll play it now or play it later in post something. But there's a clip of another Rabbi Yosef Ben Poat. I don't know if you saw
it. Yes, I read it. He talks about the same thing. So I'm going off with rabbis. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know him. You know, he's like a full Orthodox rabbi, and
yes,
he waves Mein Kampf and is like, you know, Hitler was afraid that Jews are going to do in Germany what they did in Russia.
Yes.
Going to bring the revolution and kill millions of people. Like, so just so people understand that it's not about we're not yet even at the point where we're justifying the ideology the approach. But just like how a person can have these
we have to be able in these conversations, what normally happens is there's like some kind of initial knee-jerk reaction. Like, for example, somebody says something that's, quote, feels anti-Semitic, and then the response is normally, you can't say that that's anti-Semitic, and then the whole fight is right in there.
Right.
What we're trying to do is just like keep the power of the emotion, but let's... Yeah.
Well, I also want to say, too, that I didn't just read him. I read other people. Then I read someone who I think is interesting, Hilaire Belloc, is a French writer who was warning about this problem of the Jewish question. And he was friends with Jews, and he was trying to talk sense and see what he's doing what you're doing right now. Literally saying, you can't hurt these people. You can't kill them. You can't do this. How can we solve this? You know, we're different peoples.
Well, say slowly. Say it again slowly, because
he said before. He tried to kill them. So expulsion, pogroms throughout history. Tried to integrate them, doesn't work either. And tried to expel them, doesn't work either. He said all three of these things don't work. This is before Hitler now, okay?
Yeah.
So it's a few years before, I forget exactly how many years. And he goes, so what can we do? He's like, we got to learn to deal with each other.
Hold on, Gentiles. We have to do something because you can't expel them, you can't kill them, you can't. But why would you
there's,
want
it's
to?
It's self-reflection from both sides.
No, but what I'm saying is, we don't say that about other groups of people, that we can't expel them, we can't. What is the problem that we have?
He was saying that, you know, a lot of the ones he was talking about had this, you know, chosenness, this error that they must push something on us. They must promote these certain ideologies. And then the Gentiles resist because he said, we both think we're better than each other. That's what he says. It's not just the Jews think they're superior. Gentile rejects.
Is he Jewish, you're saying?
No, he's not Jewish.
No, he's not Jewish. Okay.
So he's admitting the Gentiles have a role too in this argument. So it's not like a lot of anti-Semites will say it's just the Jews. That's it. But when you look at history, how many times do you guys mind your own business? And then here comes Rome, build the statue of our emperor. No. Oh, we got to kill you now. How many times have we seen the Jews get destroyed minding their own business? My Roman ancestors, was it the first temple they destroyed because one of the emperors thought he was a god? You must worship me. And the Jews are like, we don't do idol worship. Oh, yes, you do. And they destroyed the temple, right? And then they, you know, so there's times where you guys were just sitting there doing nothing wrong. And then here we got to kill everyone. Or you don't believe in Jesus. Oh, get into the fire. You're like, this is wrong. You know, so I'm against collective punishment of any group whatsoever. So even when I bring up Hitler, people go cringing. I'm not saying I'm justifying him at all. You know, and there's other people, like even Cornelio Codrianu was another one in the same time frame. And he came from a religious perspective. And he was saying these Jews are doing this to Romania. So we know that Judaism and communism, there's some kind of connection, but there isn't because Marx was an atheist. And there's a whole comp. So what I'm saying to the Jews watching, it's such a complicated history. And what I think would solve anti-Semitism is breaking this idea that there's a monolith. Okay, because here's the thing. When people say anti-Semite, they knee-jerk react. The Gentiles go, wait, maybe they are a monolith. Why do they get defensive all at once if they're so different? If there's, you know, capitalist Jews, communist, atheist, Zionist, anti-Zionist, because I watched the one episode with the girl who was on the show and she was getting attacked by another Jew who was anti-Zionist, doxing her. I'm like, wow. So, you know, from a Gentile perspective, if you're a racist person and think Jews are a race, this is all a show. Oh, it's just a technique of the Jews. They pretend to be on the left and the right. And they just, you know, they do these manipulations and it's all on one team, but you're not. And your history shows you kill each other nonstop.
True. We said it many times. I want to bring it back to you, actually. I want to keep it personal on you.
Because
I think that's really fascinating. People usually don't get to have conversations with people who have these kind of feelings.
Right.
So I'm curious. So I'm following the timeline. So here you are growing up as a Catholic kid in New Jersey, coming out of the Marines, starting through, you know, 9/11, going down the usual rabbit hole. Internet plays a big role. You find all those books, you start to read things, stuff starts to sound weird. And then you can either discredit everything or say, well, maybe there's something to it. And you start to have these feelings inside of you. What are you doing with these feelings?
Well, I just want to clarify what led me to that Hitler and all that was the anti-white hatred that I was seeing, like the, you know, white privilege. And, you know, white people, and then you're looking behind, who's pushing that? Well,
we're talking about like 10 years ago?
This is about 2012 or so.
Okay.
So 2012. Okay.
Okay, about 10 years ago. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, anti-white. All right. You know, white, but who's pushing this stuff? And I run into these so-called Jewish people. Now, obviously not everyone's like that, but most Jews are liberals. 80% of you, you know, 80% are Democrats or whatever. So there's going to be Ben Shapiro who disagrees. Oh, BLM is bad. You know.
Yeah. Also, hey, listen, then, in Israel, we just won the right just won the election, so you know.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but then
the whole swath of the left, you know, is all of a sudden, and most of the media is left wing and Hollywood. It's always and so this
we do agree, and history does show that when Jews leave the confines of the ghetto, when the pressure to remain isolated is lifted, they do tend to move to the left. That's kind of like history shows that.
So here's
we have a reason. We have an explanation for it, but you know that's besides the point.
So here's what this is what got these. So let's suppose I read all this stuff, right? And then I publicly stated what I found, like, hey guys, you know, and suddenly.
Where you were every, just, you went online, you started making videos.
Yeah, I was online, I was making videos. And I'm like, look what I learned. And all of a sudden, anti-Semite, not, and all this stuff that these people don't have destroyed my life, like attacked my name, anti-every. So I'm like, if that didn't happen, let's imagine I said all these things online and nothing happened. I go, oh, well, maybe it was that way in the 30s and it's over. But because I was attacked for saying these things, instead of being like, hey, you're wrong, mister, can I teach you? It's no, you're a Nazi, anti-Semite, and they destroy your life and the media and the blogs and people spying on me. It's like, these people do have this power. So like this, it's almost like the people who are trying to stop it, create it. So the ADL creates anti-Semitism.
Right. So you get this very violent response.
Yeah. Which I understand. Listen, I understand. Right. The people disagree on what happened. The Holocaust, you know, people are revisionists. Whatever you believe happened was bad. I don't care what you believe. It was 6 million, 2,000. It was bad. So I understand Jewish people have this never again.
Sure.
Never again mentality. And so maybe they think, hey, if we just get rid of all white countries, they'll never happen again. Or so let's just flood the people. You know, let's just push the Soros open society and it'll prevent this from happening. But it probably won't. It's going to piss the Gentiles off and they'll definitely, you know what I mean? So we'll get into that, because I know you guys think something's going to come. I don't think it's going to be like that, but we'll get into that. So I get where you guys are coming from. Never again. That's like the new religion, let's say. That brings every Jew together. Forget it, Orthodox, atheist, whatever. Never again, I think, is the new religion of Jews.
Right.
On a racial basis. Right. Which, is, I mean, I get it. So I'm here to help that. I'm here. I don't want that ever again to happen for any reason. I think it's bad. A lot of people will say, you read these books, you're trying to justify the Third Reich and return it. No. I'm an American. I don't want a Führer. I'm not trying to be authoritarian. You know what I'm saying? So for me to come here on this podcast is me like, okay, I know what I said in my past. I probably hurt the narrative then. This is my tshuva. And I'm not doing it to, oh, please don't attack me. No, I really care. Okay, hold on. You know what I'm saying? I really care. And I want to make sure.
We'll get to your redemption. Yeah. So you're getting this reaction, very violent reaction, which I'm kind of paraphrasing, kind of, you know, emboldens you even more in your position. You meet others who probably have this kind of
right. Well, I've been around real anti, like ones that freak me out. Like, dude, you're crazy. Like, seriously, disgusting people. They're out there for sure. Yeah.
There's all kinds.
Save the anti-Semite for those people. I've run into them. They're not good people. But anyway, go ahead.
No. So you're going through this whole process, and at some point, that pressure manages to get you the platform, right? Is that what's happening, or were other milestones that I'm?
Well, I didn't get nuked off everything till years later. So I had a verified account on Twitter before 2021 or whatever, before the real purges. Right. I had a YouTube, and I was called every, and my ideology changed. So there was a point where I was a white nationalist race thing, to the point I disowned my own sister for race mixing. So think about it, my own family I destroyed, and I fixed that too. So that's all. Everything I did wrong, I repaired on my own. Nobody taught me to get out of it.
I got out of it. And at the time when you were going all, you know, getting all passionate about what were you thinking back then was the way to solve what was happening?
Separate, you know, white ethno states, things like this. We got to separate ourselves.
Send Jews back to Israel or something?
No, I didn't think that, like send us back to Africa, black people. That to me, I said, America's big enough. We should have enough room for everyone to live happily in their own neighborhoods if they want. If anything, remove forced diversity. Like stop with the Section 8 forcing. Stop with the integration of everyone by force. If people want to mix, great. I just want to get rid of the forcing of it, you know, quotas and stuff like this, which I think today is still a logical thing. But at the time when I was Mr. White Nationalist guy, if I had a Jewish friend, I'd be like, okay, well, he's kind of my enemy, so whatever. Like, but I was like, oh, he's not a bad person. But this person who's fighting me is my enemy. You know, he, white supremacy, racist, Nazi. Okay, he's my enemy. I can't even talk to him. Block.
Right.
So now I talk to anyone, including you guys. And I don't want to have enemies, because when you don't talk, this is where violence happens. And this is why censorship is dangerous. Blocking people is dangerous. You have to converse with each other. When you speak to each other, you have a family, you have children. Me too. What do you want for our kids? Safety. Oh, how do we do that together? That's what we need to do. And that's why this podcast is critical for the Jewish community, whatever that is to you guys, and whether they think it's a people or it's a religion, whatever you guys, anyone identifies as a Jew.
You'd be surprised. Many of them don't have a clear answer for us.
Yeah, I know. I saw your podcast. They don't even know what they are. But, you know, whatever. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that...
What is a
Jew?
It's like Matt Walsh, what is a woman?
Yeah,
what is a Jew?
Did you see Matt Walsh's What is a Woman?
I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw enough clips. I know
enough to be disturbed, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. So, but whatever a Jew is, let's just say the word Jew has a bad reputation. Would you agree? Over history, you know, Jews are considered.
Yeah. Did you see the Google definition when you? It happens when you.
I saw that.
They fixed it. They
nefarious. Yeah. So, and that's a sad thing. Let's be honest with you, because you know, when I look, and another thing is when you look into anti-Semitism, I've never seen anti-Semites. Even me, when I was, I put it in quotes. I want to make the audience understand. I don't hate Jewish people. I never hated a person. It's just the power structure, the Jewish question, the nefarious Rothschild, but that's what I'm against, which also hurts Jewish people. I mean, you're not rich.
Right. No, and we'll push on that in a second. But, since you brought it up again, I know you had a thought, but I think it's important. Because if, you know, the people that we talk to, clearly, we didn't have conversation with George Soros or, you know, the Rothschild.
Oh, he hates Israel, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I don't personally, I think the guy is...
Open society, yeah.
Terrible. You know, job.
And he was a Nazi too, so he doesn't care about his own people.
But the point is, you know, when you speak to the, you know, the average Jewish people, that they all are having a hard time accepting.
Oh, yeah.
there is some sort of a power structure, Jewish power structure, and
most Jews, normal everyday Jews, not Orthodox, but just a regular suburban or urban Jew. Has no idea.
Well, listen, when a Gentile says Jewish power, it would be like a guy saying white privilege. See, that's what so this is how I got out of this stuff, guys.
This is a perfect point that you just made, because the problem with white privilege, right, is that you automatically punish collectively everyone,
even those
who suffer terribly, you know, while being white.
Right. Exactly.
However, and this is the point that we're actually trying to make, we think that Jews are judged collectively for a reason, you know, for a reason. And that goes to kind of our thesis and our theory and all that. But you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, the fact that Jews do feel that, oh, you said something about Jews, we all take it personally. You know? So we actually wanted to highlight that quality, that maybe there's a reason why you feel, you know, personally, you know, attacked when someone talks about Jews in general. Maybe there's a reason why we're kind of wired in this way. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, and I look into your network theory, and if the human, like other species, like for example, they almost breed their certain actors to do certain things. Like if you look at a hive, the queen does one thing, the worker ants do the other, and they get, you know, sacrificed if they have to take care of the queen. So like, have you guys ever seen Man of Steel, Superman?
I mean the new one,
the new one, yeah, the one with
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Henry Cavill, and he's fighting General Zod. Well, anyway, in Kryptonian society, people are made a certain way. So General Zod, he's the bad guy, but he's actually doing his job. His job is protect Krypton. Right. That's his job. He has nothing personal against Kal-El or something.
You could actually, if you wanted to have a sober outlook on life, that's how we kind of all are. You know, the guy, if you look at your high school class, there was like the jock kid, was the nerd guy. Every movie that came out when we were growing up, it had, I mean, it's very, you know, look
full
at like
stereotypes. We're doing naturally, you know.
Yeah, so I think humanity probably has this as well. There's going to be people who are artists, people who are, you know, workers, people who are engineers, people who are dancers by birth.
Right. So you, for example, don't find it crazy, as we suggest, that maybe the Jewish group, people, you know, they have a certain role in humanity.
Yeah, they could have one. Absolutely. There could be a role which you guys in your what you call about the unity. And if they're doing it wrong, there's going to be consequences. So if the Jews, for example, your solution is to unite. Okay, now that could be unite as one people and have them, like I've seen the video where Dr. Laitman has all these different people from around the world. So you guys aren't pushing a racial ideology. So you have a guy from Japan, a guy from Algeria, they have a flag, and they're
we're saying all emotional. Any, yeah. We're saying yeah. anyone
from the Kabbalah, which is a different book from the Torah and other things like that.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean it's not different. It's really the, well, since right. you brought it up, we can make a little parenthesis. We can go back to it, but maybe in another episode. But yes, I mean the Torah, the Bible is a Kabbalistic text. The Talmud, right. the Kabbalistic text. All those books are
Let's
Kabbalistic texts.
Let's do part two. We can get into all.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
We
sure, can, we'll sure. But for me, like if we go through an Alan Wattsian type of ideology, yin and yang, there's going to be people who are uniting, and there's going to be people who divide, and this little struggle is going to push no matter what. So True. Even if True. So, let's suppose the anti-Semites eliminated all Jews. There'll be another type of Jew. Some other Jew will come.
They won't be able to. That's exactly the point.
That's and that's why this millennia war between the Gentiles, it has to end at some point. And I think that I understand the Jewish people who are concerned with another Holocaust, and that we have to stop that. But you guys know Gilad Atzmon. You guys know him, right?
Gilad
Atzmon. He's you got to know who he is. No,
I don't.
Seth
know
doesn't know.
Really?
Him.
Oh, you got to look into him. Anyway, so he's. He's all about Jewish identity. He questions it. He was a Jew. He's no longer a Jew. He's a humanitarian. And he does the three different political, he does the political Jew, religious Jew, right. and ethnic Jew. These two, no issue. This one's the problem, the political Jew. That's the problem in his view. And he says Jews have a pre-traumatic, I have post-traumatic stress from the war. Jews have a pre-traumatic stress disorder. They see a they create a problem before it happens.
We're anxious in advance,
which I get. Listen, your people, again, I know there are people out there who disagree with gassing. Something happened to your people, not just one time in Germany, throughout history.
Sure.
So I see
thousands
of years and through different people. So they go, well, it's just them. They're the problem. You've seen the meme, right? Kicked out 89 bars 109 times. It's the bartender. There's something, but it's both. And that's why I like Hilar Balak, because Hilar Balak, he goes, it's both of us. It's not just these people. It's both. We both have to look at ourselves and go, okay, how do we solve this problem? Unfortunately, the Holocaust happened right after that. But even that didn't work. You see what I'm saying? So even
it's funny, he's actually, I mean, if you kind of take a side, I'm saying you're actually being gentle. Because we're saying that forget the other, just like in real life, and you will acknowledge it as a, on a personal level, it doesn't matter what other, how others reacted to the things you said. At the end of the day, it was your choice to do something with yourself first and foremost, yes. right? That was kind of like, and that's where we come from. We say, yeah, maybe there's other people involved that need to do something.
Right.
First, let's look at what we can do.
But by the way, the end goal is my house should be a house of prayer for all people. The end goal is unity and love for True. Everyone. But what we're faced with now is that how do we get there? And we have to start, we're saying that,
you have to lead by example.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said, maybe someone who's going to church is also part of these Jews, and maybe someone in a mosque is also part of the Jews. So we're not defining who this person is, but that right. whoever has this awakening towards it, there's a responsibility there.
And sure. and I would say something controversial. I'll be the controversial in this conversation, not sure. you. Because I do think, as you mentioned, that you always need the yin and the yang, the two forces. There's just no escaping it, right? Just like in a play, one plays the protagonist, one plays the villain. While we're doing this process, we need all the kinds of pressures. I mean, and I can see, humans are stubborn. I'm a stubborn person. I don't move until I get a little, from this, from the right, from the left. You wouldn't probably change your mind unless you got a little, right?
Well, it's necessary for evolution. Evolution, unfortunately, needs conflict.
No. So fortunately. No,
well, yes, you're right. But I'm saying there are some rabbis who will say the Holocaust or anti-Semitism keeps Jews together. It's actually a mechanism right. in nature.
So here's a critical point in our conversation, because because we can be different from the rest of the animals, we don't have to wait until there's a war.
Right, exactly.
We can say, let's use our hearts, let's use our minds, let's put the pressure on ourselves, like going to the gym, ahead of it and get there, instead of waiting for nature to kick our asses from behind until we get there.
And I would say, I think I don't expect people who have, you know, these negative feelings towards the Jews to, you know, overnight drop them. No, I do hope that people will hear it and start to demand the right thing from the Jews, because I can guarantee to you that there's no, we can go and shout, oh, just put, you know, pull down the power structure. It's not going to work. You know, whoever is in power, Jew, non-Jew, people don't just yield power.
Yeah, power is corrupt anyway. I mean, it's like I said, so, you can get rid of all the bad Jews you want. They'll just be Gentiles doing it.
Or new Jews who will take
or the a different kind matter. Of Jew. Yeah, right. It doesn't matter.
I'm fine saying it. My point is, but if people said, "Hey, we need you to do something," I don't want you to leave the country. I don't want you to, you know, assimilate or identify. Right. No, do something. That's something that you need to do is show the world how you can unite, how you can overcome extreme differences.
I want to tackle what I think the cause of anti-Semitism is from a Gentile's perspective.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm a Jew, I don't know, we'll see. But so when I look at anti-Semitic people, there are people who I've met who are literally, they're genetically evil. They have to go like crazy. Okay. Even I didn't adapt this personally because I know there are good Jewish people, period. Even if they're genetic, whatever. So no one hates, for example, Einstein or Stan Lee or Gal Gadot or you know, pick a Jewish person who's or Niels Bohr. No one goes, oh, I hate Bob Saget. I hate
Bob maybe Dylan. As the
but no one hate. What they hate is the Rothschild, the Soros, the ones pushing things on the Gentiles they don't want. Yeah, maybe Bob Saget's degenerate comedy. Maybe Dice Clay is a little, you know, vulgar. Okay, fine. Okay, but is that a Jewish trait? No. So that's what I'm trying. What I want anti-Semites, if they're watching me right now, is understand that you cannot put a trait on a Jew that's or any Jews. Greed is not a Jewish trait. It's not like only Jews are greedy. Gentiles, Hillary Clinton, and other people are greedy. So it's not like you guys invented usury. Even I think the Knights Templar started it. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that are complicated with our relationship. But I want people to understand the way I got out of anti-Semitism was realizing collective punishment is unjust. Period. So the nine, I call the 9-to-5 Jew. My friends are 9-to-5. They work, they have families, they're integrated, they do Hanukkah and Christmas. Some Jews think that's paganism and should be beheaded. I've seen the extreme ones. Others are like, that's great. So what I think I test, it's from hypocrisy. So if you guys are supposed to unite each other, but you're not even united, and then all of a sudden there's different Jews pushing different things on the Gentiles, they're going to go, wait a minute, what the hell are you? You don't even practice what you preach. That's the number one thing is hypocrisy. So throughout history, it's hypocrisy. It's, oh, well, for example, a lot of people say, white nationalists will say, well, Israel is an ethno-state and they have closed borders, but then they push open borders on our white European states. That's a good criticism. You know, I've seen people who are white nationalists say to a Jewish guy, hey, would you open borders Israel? No, of course not. Well, why the hell are you pushing it here in Europe? This is an argument that they make. And so it's hypocrisy that they don't like about the Jews. If the Jews were, like you said, this priestly class of unite everyone, you know, and they weren't pushing stuff in Hollywood, they weren't putting Sam Bankman Fried, you know, kind of people, Bernie Madoff, who would care? It would add more Jews.
Maybe give us more.
Maybe give us more. Yeah. But give us more, you know, like if the Jewish community was at its peak, united, loving, care, and you guys became a beacon of light, like you know, light unto the world, like you're supposed to be according to your religion or ideology, we would want more Jews. Like, give us more. Like, would you not want more people who, let's suppose a certain group of Europeans are great engineers? I want more. Build us all the bridges. You know, here are all the contracts. Take it. So if there was a class of Jews who were like, hey, look, we have problem solving skills, intercommunity, you know, we can solve this, and you solve it without pushing and coercing on people through your example. Like, wow, look at these Jews, man. Like, for what I appreciate, for example, Shabbat was just Saturday. So most of the Gentiles, what are they doing on Saturday? Nothing. When I was Italian, I still Italian. When I was younger, we had Sunday dinners. Even that's gone. But yet the Jewish people, Saturday, lights on, no phone. Everyone's, you know, having Shabbat. Right. And, you know, even Kanye West, who came out and started saying, even he appreciates the networking among Jewish people. So you have some unity, but then you have this problem of, you know, political disunity. These people want to push this. So what you're right when you say the Jews have to unite. Now you have to convince them. And look, we're having a hard time with that. Like, you know, a lot of people, you know, say the Talmud is the law of the Jews, but even the Talmud is an argument, right? Nonstop rap. This is okay. This is not okay.
Because that's what reality is.
Yes.
And that's what Judaism is really about. unity above arguments. You know, the biggest arguers in the Talmud, you know, like, Rabbi this said that, Rabbi this said that, they were the best friends.
That's what Rabbi Akiva, he was not a Jew.
So many.
King David's grandmother was not a Jew.
Yeah, that's insane.
But understand, you know, you don't have to be born into it. It's a feeling.
But the anti-Semitic, I guess there's a different kind of I guess there's different forms of anti-Semitism. There's a religious one, like you killed Jesus, therefore you're evil, and you must convert. We've seen that tried, right?
True.
Then there's a race. So Hitler was, I think, the first one with the racial. Oh, they're a race. I don't think anyone, like Napoleon said, put them in the army, they'll become one of us. Everyone else convert, you know, they didn't care. Right. I think Hitler was the first one who said, they're a race.
Correct. Right.
That's probably why
he's the two. And then the third one is what's happening now.
I think there's a political
anti-Semitism. Anti-Zionism is also, a form of anti-Semitism. Even though at its heart, as you said, there's some good criticism we can have.
Oh, no, there's absolutely good criticism against Israel. But this should be wiped off the face, that's, you know, come on. Let's be practical here. It's not going
to most of those criticizers, they have like this, you know, this outrageous,
Look, when someone says death to America, I know they're not talking about me. They're talking about my government. So if someone says Israel, you know, but again, Israel's another story. It's the history there is pretty rough. And I don't want to get into that with you guys anyway.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a podcast on that as
but,
well.
The thing is, I think a lot of the anti-Semitism, from my view, when I was I'm Gentile still. You know, I'm not a Gentile, but I'm transcending these labels, okay? Is that there's hypocrisy. So we see, you know, borders for us, open borders for you. There's, you know, all this. There's even an arrogance from some of them. Not you guys. You guys are very humble.
The issue is we can't speak for every Jew,
exactly, but there's organizations
don't
that
agree
do.
With us yet.
Like, look at the ADL. They run around the Anti-Defamation League defaming everyone.
Those guys wouldn't have a business if there was no anti-Semitism,
right? That's why it's important for
Society. If you solve cancer, then these guys are all out of business. So
white people. There was a time that, you know, when people say white privilege, I would agree in the 60s, 100%. Jim Crow. There's a fountain for you black people, 100% white supremacy, no question. But white people, as you see over time, was like, okay, that's wrong, this is wrong, we got to fix ourselves. I offered to the Jews, perhaps look at yourselves and say, hey, maybe we have a privilege, but more of it, it's not even that you're all privileged, because you're not all billionaires, obviously. You're not, you know, Adelson. You're not.
Show me a person that's really privileged today, man.
Yeah, come on. There's nobody. So what I'm saying,
like 1% of humanity, maybe.
Jewish people should be okay with reflecting, like, you know what? We should start calling out these bad ones and not attack Gentiles who do it. So a lot of times we'll say white silence is violence. So if we white people don't acknowledge racism, we're part of the problem. I'll say to Jewish people, so white people have gone through this. Jewish people can now start going through it too. And I'm not saying you're guilty. I don't want that collective nonsense. But to reflect, like, you guys are reflecting. You're saying, yeah, you know what? We did do this and that. You didn't do it. But to attack people who call them out, that's another. So it's hypocrisy. And then all of a sudden, this defense mechanism of attacking anyone who says 2 + 2 = 4. Because they're not saying lies. I've been called an anti-Semite this whole time, right? Never was I called a liar. Like, you know, you're lying. Here's why. I'm not lying. You know, I'm right. So that has to go away. The shutting down of the conversation. I understand why. Because God forbid, you know, the Gentiles learn something happened. Oh, because they are stupid enough to collectively punish people.
We also see, and I'm sure you heard this in the podcast. There's like your street level thug anti-Semite, there's people in your category who are the Henry Ford style anti-Semite.
Henry Ford is another one, yeah.
Who is looking at something and saying, what the heck is going on here? Now, not to justify anything that happened.
No, you couldn't justify the Holocaust if you wanted to. You can't take the second Hitler put one innocent Jew in a train. It was bad. You understand? So that's why if he was like, look, all the communists go to jail, that's different. He didn't do that. He said, no, you're born a Jew. You're in a train into the camp. Bye-bye. I don't care who babies, rabbi, you know, one
no,
guy.
Always, I mean, no.
That's just collective punishment's wrong. It's like attacking me for what my ancestors did in Rome. My ancestors built great empire, but they also killed a lot of people.
Yeah, we'll get to your Roman debt later on. Yeah. So,
my Roman debt. Yeah, so... No, but this is what collective punishment is unjust. I mean, I should not go to jail if my uncle robs a store, right? But this is almost, but once the problem with politics and tribalism in general for human beings it's much easier to hate everyone of a group and
so,
just get
so
all
we have us. We have a leap though that we have to make, and this is where it becomes really, really difficult, because we're also saying that we're part of a natural system.
Yes, I would. Yes.
Yeah. So that's an issue, because also we don't. We can see what's going on now in culture, where we say, you know, there's, we can be any gender, we can be any this, there's no use for a family, there's no use for all these things. So we're kind of detaching, even the way we eat, right? Most people don't, that there's even a thing now called grounding, where you're supposed to like put your feet in the dirt every day, because like, we're just so detached from nature.
There's so many identities, that's insane.
We're so detached from natural cycles. Women aren't out of touch with their menstrual cycle. Just everything is
out of touch.
Out of touch. You can tell, yeah. So if we got more into touch, there may be something natural, nature-wise, about this as well. And that's really hard also to for people to understand, that whether or not these people are criticizing you or not criticizing you, whether or not you want to or not want to, like a woman, unless she's taking some kind of medicine, at a certain period of her life, she's going to have her menstrual cycle every month. It's just a natural thing that's going to happen. And in a sense, there's this natural process that we're dealing with also, but it's, the issue is when you have Jews that are left wing, and you have Jews that are right wing, and you have Jews that are, I know, violent, and you have Jews that, you know, that are militaristic, and then you have Jews that are PC, hippie, whatever. It's hard to comprehend that there's some force acting on them. And not only that, you can have this force awakening inside of somebody in Africa, in Europe, in America. So this is totally weird. And we don't hear anybody else really talking about this aspect of it. And this is the part that is really hard for us to explain.
Well, it's like I said, most people, if you take the normal Gentile or a normal person, they're going to be trying. Like, look at people with sports. They'll get violent over football teams. they're proud of their team. Oh, the Steelers. And the tribalism of humanity is there. And there could have been a purpose for it. But again, everything in evolution, like, there's got to, you can't always have the tribes always killing each other constantly. So there's going to be a group of people who come out by evolutionary, not chance, but just of natural, who say, maybe we shouldn't do this, which would probably be the so-called Jews, who would say, why don't we unite? And the empires go, no, we don't want to unite. We don't want to share resources. We don't, right, there's not enough. There's not enough resources. I got to kill you and take your stuff.
That's a beautiful,
So it's from a natural point of view. And again, from my Alan Watts and Zen and Stoic, because look, Marcus Aurelius, Stoic, he talks about the whole. That's the reason why I wrote my book, is because of Marcus Aurelius. Alan Watts talks about this whole big game of wiggles and squiggles, or whatever, you know. And then you got the Lao Tzu, who talks about everything's going with the flow of natural unity. Right. So, and as you said, Seth, we are able to foresee and should be able to create our own evolutionary strategy, instead of getting our asses beat with wars and genocides and famine, you know, problems that we can cause.
So let's go back to your personal story again.
Yeah.
So you're going, you know, a few years, this is going. And then at some point, as I said, the reaction is so strong that you're basically, you're forced off the internet, basically.
Well, no, basically, I got off the internet, then I was on Gab, and I'm sitting on Gab, and I'm talking about the Jewish power, Jew, and I started feeling poisoned. I literally deleted I said, I'm finished. So I told my wife, I'm done with this.
You just started feeling it one day?
I felt poisoned about identity politics, period. Like, I'm Italian, I'm a white person, I don't care about my body. I transcend. When I started doing the whole, you know, I wrote the book, my book talks about transcending your ego. What does Dr. Lightman say about the ego? Everyone's egotistical.
Right, but hold on. Just put it for someone who's listening. You're going through this crazy rant against the Jews. At some point, you're starting to read Alan Watts. Tell me how.
Well, so it's not just the Jews. I started criticizing white nationalists. I started criticizing everyone. Was all of a sudden, I pissed off every group, not just Jews. I pissed off every group. Hated me.
Was your wife happy with you at this point?
She's not political, but she understands where I'm coming from. But she knows, like my I have two sisters. One of them, I remember, I disowned for 5 years when I was Mr. White Nationalist, because you race mixing. By the way, great kids, great family, because you get told, oh, the genetics, or they're going to, you know, I fixed. So what I'm saying, I pulled myself out of this so-called extremist views. Me. Most people, philosophically, by my own logic, well, wait a minute, you know, I pulled my, most people can't do that. So I'm very right. rare. And they're going to go, oh, no, the book says. So I pulled myself out of these views.
But we can't logically. Count on everybody else being.
You're not going to, you can't, because most people don't think at all. They're emotional. They're, oh, my God, you know, us versus them. And that's it. And this goes for Jewish people and Gentiles. A lot of Jewish people, us versus them. Go look at these people like, oh, no, we got to stop the Nazis. Who's right, a Nazi? Right. Well, that one is. Why? Because disagrees on one thing. So this tribalism is innate in all of us, but we have to. So my book, I talk about transcending tribalism, taming the ego, because the ego is looking for problems. It's afraid of death. It's afraid of all. So it's look, it'll make up problems. So even if there were no anti-Semites, you're going to make them up. Even if there were no Jews, you're going to make up some Jew controller no matter what. So maybe, that's why I
maybe you're making this whole thing up, you know, completely. Right.
So, so I transcended my, and I'm not saying I don't have an ego. We all do, but you tame the ego like a dog. Shut up. Don't be afraid. I'm fine. So when I did that, I transcended everything. I started looking at my gab. Like, what am I doing on gab? I'm throwing up anger. I'm so angry, and I'm so, because I can't speak anymore. I can't heal people. And then I said, I got to get off this internet. So that's why I got rid of my old name, not to hide my face. Look here, everyone knows it's me. Not to do anything, but to literally say to myself, I am a different man now. If I'm truly going to transcend my former self, and by the way, I don't regret anything. Those are my lessons learned. If I didn't go through those things, I would not know. What about
that community, that quote-unquote anti-Semitic community that you were a part of? What do they think of your transformation?
Well, a lot of people know me, that I'm like a person who helps any group who's doing the right thing. So I'm not going to disown my friends who think that there's anti-white hatred. There is, okay? But I'm not going to judge them either. But I don't associate with anyone who wants to collectively punish people who hate people. I
mean, will you be looked down on because you talked to a bunch?
I've been looked down on. And but like I mentioned off camera, like I said, this guy David Lang from IsraeliCool.com, huge advocate of Israel. He was one of my arch nemesis. Hi, Dave, if you're watching. So we when I came back on Twitter with my new name, legit, legally, everything's changed. He goes, oh, you're back. I guess I said, actually, I'm not, David. Let's talk on Zoom. So we talk. He's in Israel. That's where he lives. And we spoke back and forth. He goes, wow, I can't believe you're doing. I said, Dave, I never hated anyone. But here's my viewpoint. This is why. He goes, well, I understand. And he told me his viewpoint. And he's a father. He's a widowed person. He means well. We're not going to agree on everything. But he's a human being like me. So instead of blocking David like I would about, he's a Jew, Zionist, I said, let's talk, David. He's a person. You know, we're not, again, we have different agreements. We disagree. But that human connection is that's the problem. We don't have that. And when you have these groups that anti-Semite, Nazi, Jew, this, that, that's the prize. So you want to talk about unity, you have to connect. It's just among you guys, but also with the Gentiles, so that there's no misunderstanding. Where you guys come, we want to be safe.
So because we're all so different, that's how nature made us.
Yes.
Right? We talked about these different kinds of people. And even if you look in the forest, I mean, you have cheetahs, right, and you have eagles. And so what are we going to unite? What is strong enough, what is big enough that we can all unite around is the next thing. Because as you said, certain people are able to critically think,
yeah,
but if we look at advertising and we really look at humanity, what really moves people is emotion.
Yes.
And even though Ben Shapiro, for example, says, I don't care about about your feelings, at the end of the day, you're not going to move 8 billion people with facts.
With logic. No, you're not.
No. You're going, because we see it constantly that you can have an entire population vote a certain way or believe something or put masks on or do anything based on a feeling. So we have to find some feeling, something strong enough for us to unite around above all of these differences.
Well, I think the one thing we all have in common is suffering. Life in general, according to Buddha, life is suffering. If we all worked, and
according
I wrote
to
in my
Buddha,
book.
According to my grandma.
Yeah, right, according to everybody, yeah. So if we humans, instead of causing suffering to each other, you know, let suffering be natural disasters. Let it be, you know, things that happen in it. Why cause it to each other? So if we could all unite and reduce suffering among each other, and even animals even. I'm not saying you have to be vegan. I'm just saying let's reduce things that harm any life together. That could be our mission, Jew or non-Jew. Literally, that could be it. And you could do that in many ways. And so that one thing we all have in common, suffering, is something we should all work together toward reducing. That,
so how can we all make a life free of suffering?
Well, we have to communicate and prevent problems that could happen. So
this is what you're saying is
yes, this conversations like you're doing right now, like with me. Most people who may recognize me from, you know, whatever groups that hated me will go, wow, this guy's really here talking to these people. Yes. And again, I'll bring up David Glenn.
And also for our side, there's people saying, how dare they speak to somebody?
Right. And that's the problem. We have to, like, if I didn't speak to David Lang, he would probably still be reporting my Twitter, but he's not. He leaves me alone because he understands, even though I may say something about Israel he might not agree with, he knows I'm coming from a good place. He knows I don't hate him or his children or Jews or anybody. He knows, okay, we're going to disagree politics, whatever. He's going to criticize Soros, whatever. So I spoke to David. We had a great conversation, and that was it. You know, we don't attack each other, nothing. So this was a man who considered me his archenemy in a way. And I was, you know, it's kind of like a comic book. And here we go full circle just by talking as human beings. So not
are you still able to speak to anti-Semitic groups? Like, are you still...
Well, I don't talk to groups like that anymore, but there are people who follow me on my Twitter who certainly that way will call out Jewish power.
So if we consider them as well, you know, it's probably, you could also turn them off from not listening to you as well, but if you could speak to them, what would you tell them?
Well, I tell them, like, when I do speak to them, remember, only punish the guilty, protect the innocent, punish the guilty. So if you got a Jewish person who's just being a Jewish person in the street, you can't go get rid of the person. Only go after the bad ones. So if every group did that, we'd have a better world. Pick any group. If any group said, okay, here are our bad guys, here you go, put them in jail, everyone wins. But again, people are afraid of calling out their own. Like, look at politics, right? Democrats, Republicans. Both sides are corrupt. Democrats protect their corrupt. Republicans protect theirs. They call each other out and nothing gets accomplished. What if they said, look, here's all our corrupt, put them away, we have a better government? It's never going to happen, but that's what I'm trying to say. So if the Jews and the Gentiles say, look, here's the bad guys, and let's move forward, that's a plus. How is that going to happen? Well, you got to transcend tribalism. So there's tribalism. Again, there's nothing wrong with being proud to be Jewish or white or black or what. I personally don't care about pride. I have no pride. Maybe that's a problem. I don't have a pride. I don't go over.
Well, it's a question. What should we be proud of? That's
right. Right. Well, I think you should be proud of yourself. What are you doing to make the world better? If you're saying, well, my ancestors built, you know, rockets. Well, who cares? You're not doing it. So why don't you do something? Why don't you build a rocket? But so a lot of people, they put their pride on past things, and maybe that's nature's way of keeping a certain group going. It could be, you know, there's probably something genetic there. But for me, I'm the kind of person that transcended all this stuff. I'm not holier than thou. I care about justice. I care about things being right. So I would say this if I was a black man, Jewish guy. I said this even in my heyday. I would say the same thing no matter what I was, that this stuff is wrong. We got to stop this. This stuff is what should be pushed. We all have our opinions too. So, you know, some people will disagree. But at the end of the day, guys, we have to not just you guys unite as Jews, but also the Gentiles have to unite and say, okay, we have so many tribes against, because you guys have one tribe, but even your tribe, see, most Gentiles don't know how divided you are.
We have 12, by the way. So
right, 12 tribes to do it. And one of them is the black Israelite. No, I'm just kidding. but think about this. So among you, most anti-Semites, okay, will say that you're one group.
Right.
They don't know you're not. They believe your division is a tactic.
Yeah, we said it in our podcast. Yeah, they wish we were as united as they portray us to be. You know, right.
But the knee jerk reaction makes it seem that way. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's interesting. So I think what would stop anti-Semitism, let me just give you what I think would solve it. One, Jewish people start policing their own publicly, not in the, okay, shut up. No, publicly, here's a bad guy. Okay. Number two, unite yourselves in a way where there's no hypocrisy, none whatsoever. It's going to be difficult because there's so many different, but to know that you're not a monolith, that's critical, because most anti-Semites, Hitler, you name them, pick any one of them, will say they think you're a monolith. They literally think you're all in on it. you're all in on everything. Everything is, it's like, it's not even possible once you think about it. Wait a minute. How is this guy part of the, you know, elders of Zion? It's not possible. He's poor. He's got a mortgage. He goes to work just like everyone else. You know, anyway,
we're not in the Telegram group of that.
Yeah, you should be. I'm on there. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So for me, I came out of this and I realized by myself, again, conversing with people like even David, again, when we spoke, that was a shifting moment for me because I proved to myself I was different. Again, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, Jews, forgive me and let me live my life. Many of them will. I don't care. I truly have transcended and proved to myself. My name change was also symbolic. I told my, she's like, you really going to change? Yes, I'm going to change your name. I want to name my new self. So the name change wasn't, again, to escape my past. The internet is always there. I didn't get surgery. I didn't change my gender. You know, here I am, everyone. It was for me to transcend my ego. Angelo John Gage had to die. He served his purpose. I went through these different things. I know what I went through was incorrect for me. For me, maybe someone wants to be a white nationalist or a Jewish nationalist. Maybe that's for them. It's not for me. So I know for a fact it's not for me. Yeah. So it's not for me.
Do you know that, you know, so now your name is John, right?
No, Lucas Gage is my name.
Oh, Lucas
Gage. Angelo John Gage was my birth name. It's okay. You know, it's actually Angelo Gage, but John is my grandfather. So Angelo is my grandfather. I wanted to be like Sean Claude Van Damme, Angelo John Gage, very powerful name. So when I did Lucas Gage, it's funny because Lucas liked like seeing the light.
Right.
So it's kind of that, but also my father's name, Thomas, my mother's name, Lucia. So if you chop those names in half, you have Lucas. You know, and Lucas Gage sounds badass. Lucas Gage, you know. Like, yeah, so that's because I wrote my book and I wanted to save my book. My book was written on my other name.
What's
so
the name of your book, by the way? We didn't plug your book.
Thoughts and Reflections on Life by Lucas Gage, which there's nothing in there about hating anyone. In fact, when I reconnected with David Lang, he's like, there's nothing in your book that's hateful. Like, I know, because I'm not a hateful person.
You sound disappointed.
get the Jews and destroy. No, I talk about suffering, transcending yourself, your ego. It's a self-help book mixed with kind of what Marcus Aurelius did about talking about stoicism and all this other stuff. So you can see in my writings that I am not into this identity stuff. You know, I'm not, again, going back to, it's okay to be proud of your ancestors and have the holidays and, you know, preserve Jewish, you know, the different holidays or any other group. White people want to preserve their Scottish people.
No, that's beautiful. What we're saying too.
The diversity of humanity is beautiful and should be preserved. And we should not blend it into a consumerist George Soros globalism.
No,
that's fine. But when you start saying my tribe is better than your tribe and I should rule you, I write that in my book because I'm an anti-supremacist. The second your tribe says I must rule you because you suck, you're a supremacist. Doesn't matter, even if you mean well. So that's why a lot of people, when they say the chosen ones, they think chosen by God to rule the world. And some rabbis will say that. Some will say the Gentiles are cattle.
Oh, if you go, stupid. I mean, let's. it's like any religion.
Any religion, though.
People. You can find white
people. Yeah, yeah. What, say things but even what does Islam say? Infidel, you know, yeah. Kafir. Okay, well, even Christianity, heathen. Christianity was spread by the sword. It wasn't like, oh, you want to be Christian? No, we had to kill you. We're gonna actually blend in other cultures so you join us. Here's a tree. What does a tree have to do with a guy in the desert? You know, Jesus. Or what does a bunny have to do with, you know, Easter? It's a fertility goddess. So the Constantine blended in the cultures to spare him killing people as well. So a lot of these religions are pushed by the sword. Interestingly enough, Judaism is not, they don't proselytize door to door. Like, hey, you want to be a Jew? Actually, don't be a Jew. It's 613 mitzvahs, you know.
Yeah, no,
just be a Gentile, you know.
We recommend against it, yeah.
But it is a tough life. I mean, look, when you look at the rabbi, like I go to Costco on Saturday, there's no Jews because they're all doing Shabbat. They all live, I run into them, they have 9 children. They live a certain life. They wear
some of them.
Orthodox. So, you know, what I want to say here is that, you know, we have to talk. We have to be allowed to discuss even things that are like the Jewish people watching. I hope you're not offended by me being here. I really want to solve, because if I didn't care about people, I would just say, all right, well, do what you good luck. Keep doing what you're doing, Jews. You know, you'll get what you deserve. You know, that's what a lot of people think. I can't wait till they destroy themselves. No, I don't want to see another Holocaust. And now going into this, I don't think that thing will happen again the way it did, but that doesn't mean there won't be persecution. You're seeing a lot of menorahs being destroyed. You're seeing a lot of people. There are anti-Semites. Let me say, there are people I've seen them. I've spoke to these people who literally think you need to be eradicated. I'm against that, obviously. So we have to not let that happen. And I don't think a Holocaust of rounding up Jews will ever happen like that again, but there'll be some other kind of it. We're like, okay, you know, look
very,
at these
very
people.
True. Yeah, very,
yeah, so
we're with
we
you
want
that.
To prevent that. We want to prevent that because, look, there are certainly bad Jews out there. There are certainly bad Gentiles, okay? When people are, like, for example, when 9/11 happened, most Americans became anti-Muslim. They didn't give a damn. The guy at the street did nothing. This is the problem with group identity. You react like a group. You know, you've seen mobs at concerts start fist fighting, mosh pits. You've seen mobs at any rallies. They start getting crazy. They start looting. Even like, people talk about BLM looting. What about sports? The Eagles win the Super Bowl. They destroy their own town. What is going on here? Soccer. You see the soccer in England? They destroy the stadium. So mob mentality is dangerous. You know, they killed Socrates. Why? Because he was asking questions. Get rid of him. The mob is crazy. So we don't want mobs. You want to prevent the mob from happening.
Well, but the collective wisdom is amazing. If you can actually, sure.
if you can raise the mob,
make sense of that connection. That's something amazing.
So the message emotionally should be safety for our children. You know, never again should not apply just to Jews, should apply to every group. Never again should we even be at war with each other. This Russia-Ukraine thing shouldn't happen.
Oh, and beautiful.
And look who's behind, Zelensky, Jewish. And you see how many Jews are involved? It's too many. It's like, oh, no. And I'm going to tell you, the Gentiles, even people who are not anti-Semitic are starting to see this bad people. They're starting to see it. And that's why I tell Jewish people, please just let us call out the bad ones and help us. Call out the bad ones. Help us isolate them. And again, when I spoke to David Lang, he said, but what about their Jewishness caused this? Where in the Torah does it say start wars and rob the Gentiles? Nowhere. So his view, and he explained to me why it's anti-Semitic to say this Jew, that Jew. You don't say, look at this Catholic pushing the war. Look at George Bush, the Catholic. So I understand his viewpoint. See, that was a good conversation with David. So now when I criticize, I'll say, look at this guy here. Is it possible of his identity based on being Jewish, being afraid, is he pushing a certain agenda? There's a motive there, not just because he's a Jew. Oh, he's just a Jew. It's criminal behavior genetically. So that's where the anti-Semite comes from. It's
right.
just by being born, you're going to start robbing people. Well, I don't see Stan Lee robbing people. I didn't see, you know, rest his soul there. Marvel Comics, he brought people together through, you know, this imaginary Marvel universe, all these movies, make people happy. Again, Jonathan Salk, right? Polio. Yeah. Oh, but vaccines are a Jewish plot. Okay. Some people, listen, they're not going to, no matter what you tell them, they're going to hate you no matter what. I don't know why.
It's okay. Listen, we don't need to get to everyone. We talk about it also. We don't need to get everyone. If we get 10% of the population to act a certain way, to think a certain way about it, we can make a huge change, man. That's not a lot to ask. We can get to people and just have them start considering that there should be another way of approaching what's happening between humans all over the world. Yeah. That's really what we're saying. And we're simply saying that, you know what, if you feel that, you know, join this circle, you know, join us on this quest, we might discover that we have more in common than other people around us. And that's fine. That's okay. Because that's how it should be. It's just that there was a group that was sort of made of representatives of all the people and was given this mandate a few thousand years ago. And now we're seeing like their descendants. So it's on them for the most part to start it. But it's not an exclusive club. Anyone who wants to bring unity.
Not only that, we don't even know who they all are.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. We don't know because it's not a genetic thing. You can't map. You sent me that article today.
Yeah.
It's great, but.
Well, that's the Ashkenazi only side, if that was even the case. What about the
Ethiopian?
Right,
right. There are rabbis in Israel who traveled the world trying to find the Jewish genome. There's no such thing because it's not a Jewish thing. There is some sort of a charge, let's call it, okay, for lack of a better. I don't want to get too mystical, but no, maybe on our next podcast. But there is a charge right in the field that was imbued in this group, and then through the power of the environment. Through the power of the environment, most of them were kept within those worlds, you know, that world of values. That's the only reason why you could say, hey, you probably have that. But we're open to saying anyone who feels that way should join this effort and should start leading by example, as you said, and start to do it. And we'll say, and again, we won't have time to get into it today, unfortunately, but what we're saying also is you can't beat the ego by yourself. In rare right. cases, you get a little respite from it. You know, you can get a little break, you can get a little, you know, a leg up, but it's a group effort. That's, by the way, that's kind of like
also part of the evolution that we're talking about. Yeah, that's happening in nature, is that we're moving towards this
greater, you know, orders of complexity and connection. That's, well, that's
how nature. Myself, when I say I pulled myself out, I wouldn't be able to pull myself out if I didn't have resistance to do something. Am I wrong? Is something going on? You know, there is an interplay between this yin and yang sure. energy.
For sure. And for you, by the way, you know, you had those books. So books are part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, a teacher is part of it. An environment is part of it. So
yeah. we got to not hate each other for this process. It's a tough process. It's brutal in some ways, but hatred. And that's another thing I translate. Hating people, period, is poisonous. What's the one saying? If you hate is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. It doesn't do anything other than, so when I'm sitting there getting upset with things and I can't change the world, you know, Alan Watts would say, relax, buddy, yeah. Go with the flow. You know, that's what I did. I said, I let go of all the things that I, you know, and now I'm here to help unite, even if I'm a Jew or not, I don't care. I want to make sure that the Jewish community is safe, whoever they are, the Gentiles are safe, whoever they are, and whatever other communities come up. I want to make sure that, you know, we have peace and let suffering come from nature. Let it come from, you know, arthritis, tsunamis, let us deal with that right. together.
That's very specific. You
know, yeah, just those two. Everything else, world hunger is fine, war is fine. No, but you know what I'm saying, guys?
No. We're saying, dude, we're a step ahead of you. We're saying if humans are at the highest level in nature, if we get our shit together, all the other levels are going to, you know, find balance.
This is the Kabbalah stuff that maybe we could talk about in the next talk, that actually by doing this unity, all of reality, all of humanity, everything starts to come into balance, and that there is some wonderful future for all of us that we're moving towards. If we can bring that yin and yang, those two forces into balance, if this third kind of force can come that brings the plus and minus together,
it's called the middle line.
We'll do that the next
time. So before we go, I'm saying it with a heavy heart because I feel like we're just getting started.
I go on forever.
You know? No. We will, and I think, you know,
I'll come back. I'll come back.
Yeah, we'll do part two and part three. No.
Sure.
I just want to say to everyone that this is just another example for me. Of the importance of having these conversations, and I really want everyone to who sees this to really spread the word that we want to talk about it, that there is some sort of an order behind all of this, and we want to uncover it, we want to do it together, and you know, that's what we do here, try to do here on the Jew Function podcast. And I wonder if I put a quote in the chat, if you want to indulge us by reading it, if you don't mind. It's by Rav Kook. He was the chief rabbi of Israel in, you know, the first one. It was a fascinating guy, traveled the world, and he wrote extensively about the role of Israel and Jews and all of that. But if this is what he wrote, you know, I think it would be fabulous if you
want me to read it. Okay, so he goes, yeah. Since we are ruined by unfounded hatred and the world was ruined with us, we will be rebuilt by unfounded love, and the world will be built with us. Yeah. Well, that's, again, if you lead by example, it's possible. If you
this
don't,
is it. No, this is it.
My main thing was, who wants to listen to hypocrites? That's really which a lot of anti-Semitism stems from, that, believe it or not. And maybe some Jewish people get upset. Well, no, it's victim blaming.
Get upset,
victim blaming. Well, you know, there's two to tango. In every situation, it's two to tango. And, you know, even globalism sounds bad, right? So if you have a nation that rules the whole world over the other, what if globalism was kind of like Starship Troopers? Remember that movie? Yeah. What if at some point humanity is going to have, if Elon Musk is right, we're going to globalize, but imagine if globalism was different countries united without coercion. That's beautiful.
That's but a good
wish. This George Soros globalism is by force.
No. There's no coercion in love, my man. There's no coercion in love.
So if you lead by example, and if you truly the light into the nations in the good way, not the bad ways that, you know, some crazy rabbis will say, then it by example, you go, I want to be like these people. Like America is supposed to be that. We're supposed to be the beacon of light. Look what we're doing, destroying Iraq, Afghanistan. We're not doing it.
All many right, people, the cliffhangers for next time.
Yeah, all next right. time, yeah, of course.
We'll talk next time.
Lucas, amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming here, for talking to us. Please stay our friend, sure. And we want to talk some more. Like, share, comment, subscribe, spread the word. This is the Jew Function Podcast, and we'll see you next time. Thank you, man. Happy New Year.